This announcement is for all ladies of all ages, okay? I want to remind you that Ladies Bible Study starts up again this week after a very long hiatus, for which I'm not going to apologize. I had no idea this was all going to happen. But it resumes this Thursday, the 8th, at 6:30 here at the church, and we're going to wrap up Hosea. And yay, we get to start in Joel the week after that. So if you've been delaying coming to Bible study because you didn't want to jump into the middle of a book, Joel, the start of Joel, is your opportunity to begin with us. And we would love to see you there, ladies. It's a good time to really get into the Word and learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And beginning the first Thursday of each month, we're going to have a prayer meeting, ladies, and that is what it is. It's pure prayer. There won't be any entertainment. There won't be any worship songs. There won't be any snacks. We're just praying. Our nation and our families and our communities are in dire trouble, and we need to be praying and seeking the Lord God for them. So all of you are welcome to Bible study or the prayer or both, whichever you choose. Thank you.
So speaking of prayer, thank you all for praying for my dad. Looks like the insurance that we were praying would get triggered got triggered because he had a really bad report at the end of rehab, which is actually a good thing to trigger the rehab, so or trigger the long-term care insurance. And so he didn't understand that when I explained to him. He'd been working really hard and got a bad report, but the bad report would be good in triggering his insurance that he could go home and get 24-hour care. So thank you for your prayers on that. I mentioned last week we have somebody coming on March 18th, Jews for Jesus, but I didn't mention that we're actually having a potluck afterwards. And so that's not next Sunday. It's the Sunday after next. You know what happens next Sunday? Time change. Oh, Jeff's back. Okay. There you go. Okay. And boy, that'll be really hard on him, as though his clock isn't messed up enough. Okay. Getting that jet lag. But yeah, Jeff's back. And we have a time change. So it'll be always fun to see, okay, who doesn't spring forward on their clocks, set their clocks forward, which means you got to get up extra early, which means everybody will show up late. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see who shows up a half an hour into the service. That's always, you know, what happens. Let's see. Rita gave this to me. There's a movie, Tortured for Christ, that is rich and warm. Go ahead and say that. So anyway, the movie's at 7:30 at Canyon View Regal Theaters. Okay, and yeah, so Voice of the Martyrs. Somebody say something? No? Okay. It's Wernbrandt. Okay, so that's an interesting name. So that's on March 5th, 7:30, Regal View Cinemas. Okay, and speaking of Jeff and him coming back next week, they're still over there. And Sarah was telling me about how they survived the jungle and not getting malaria, but that we should always be praying against malaria. That is always a risk when you're over there in India. So if you want something specific to pray about, Sarah, you know, maybe God just told her from wisdom or past experience. I don't know, but let's pray for them against malaria or anything happening while they're over there. Okay, and so let's see. Finally, we have a housekeeping thing here. I don't know if we have any visitors here. The tithe boxes or the wooden boxes in the foyer, those are there for your tithes and offerings. And on a housekeeping issue, if you have any questions about your tax statements, please contact Monica or our bookkeeper. It's got the number here on the bulletin. So if I could tell you, but then you'd have to write it down. But in any case, just grab a bulletin and the number is on there. And a second reminder that Go Give Hope checks must be made out to Go Give Hope and not Calvary Chapel. Alrighty. And so Calvary Chapel can no longer process these checks. Go Give Hope now has their own tax number, and so we need to make sure that if you give to Go Give Hope, that you fill it out to Go Give Hope and not Calvary Chapel. And if they do receive one and you forget, they'll have to give the check back to you. And the same also applies for bill pay or PayPal statements. Okay, and I'm going to say they thank you for your understanding, and may the Lord richly bless you as you give to Him. In any case, that's all I have for you guys. Here's JB.
Thank you, Steve. Before we get into the Word, we need to spend some time praying. Two young ladies, Wendy and Brittany, they're struggling with drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Of course, let's pray for our team in India, too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we seek You. We ask that Your Spirit be poured out in our midst today, that we will understand what You, Lord Jesus, is teaching us. But I also want to uphold our team in India, that You will protect them from any diseases that they may pick up. You will keep them from picking it up, Lord, that You will bring them back safely to us, that we can hear about You moving in eastern India, that the gospel is being proclaimed and people are coming to You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, guide and direct them as they continue to reach out and share the love of Christ to people who probably haven't even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, in a special way, I want to pray for Wendy and Brittany as they struggle with drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Pray, Lord, that You will set them free, that they will realize the emptiness of the road they're on and find Jesus and be delivered. And Father, there may be some of us that may need delivering. It may not be drug or alcohol, but it may be something else. May You use this time in Your Word to start the process of delivering us, Lord. Touch us, Father. Move in all our lives, Lord. In the powerful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. It's the very last of the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. To build a house or a life. The building material is very important that we use. But what you lay the building material on is really of primary importance. Your life hinges on the foundation. And the foundation along with the whole house will depend on what type of land you put the house on. You may buy some land that maybe was a landfill. And you built a house on it. Which is okay, provided you don't have an earthquake. They have found that houses built on landfills during a quake shake a lot more than a normal house. Let's take another house, like a houseboat. Now, a houseboat's land, if you can call it that, is based on water. But now anything can happen. If your houseboat is on a lake, the lake may dry up. If it's on a river, the river may dry up. You know, and you may be unfortunate enough to have this, your neighbor who just likes to tinker with things, and he decided to tinker with making a homemade torpedo. And he launches it. And unfortunately, your house is in the way. Your house can sink. I knew some people once who were building a house up in Alaska. They had to start by putting the house on poles because it would sink 3 feet down before it finally settled and hit something hard. That's what they had to do for the house to be on a firm foundation. Now, Jesus is talking about our lives. And Jesus is asking us, what type of land do we build our lives upon? Sand or bedrock? Are we wise? Have you thought through what life is all about? What is of true and lasting value? In a world that doesn't have any values, we need to listen to what Jesus is saying and spend some time thinking about our lives, thinking about what is true and lasting. So let's look at life. First of all, before we look at, and we're going to just do some themes, bedrock, sand, storms. But let's look at our lives. We all face the same events in life. We get hit by death, taxes, self-image problems, job problems, illness, family problems. The list can go on and on. And all of these, plus many other things, affects all of us at one time or another. And there is no escaping from these challenges of this life. There are no escaping. But there's always a way to handle these challenges. And really handling these challenges will depend upon your ability to make the right decisions. And we all make decisions. We need to ask ourselves, and that's part of the decision process, well, what type of life I'm going to live? What or who am I going to base my life upon? What type of land is your life going to be based upon? See, because no matter how we look at it, people are going to look at us. And people are going to follow our lifestyle, unfortunately. Or fortunately. This depends on how you're living. People will see it. Whether our family, whether our neighbors, someone at work. I remember one time going to seminary, I was a night guard at this glass plant in outside of Fresno, California. And one of the guys, workers, came up to me and said, "You know, you're different than the other night guards." I said, "Thank you. I try to put Christ before the job." And he just kind of go, all right. He saw that I was different than the other night guards, than any of the guards. I made a decision to follow Christ and put Christ at the forefront of my job. And it affected people. People noticed. I did the same thing as all the other night guards did. I say night guards because I worked at night. But Christ made all the difference. He's the key to life. You know, outwardly we look all the same. We get up, we go to work, we go to school, we eat, the list goes on and on. But it's what's inside that changes things, that can change your life. And with the Lord, we have wisdom, and that wisdom reorganizes our own spiritual life, which then changes our lifestyle. We may do the same things that other people do, just our attitude is changed. In Christ, we can find a life-changing attitude in Him. And changing one's heart, which is what Christ does, changes our attitudes and changes our outlook to life. Now, it happens because we have found the right land. Jesus tells us there are two types of land in which we build our foundation upon, our lives upon. And He gives no middle ground. That's one thing I like about Him. He gives no middle ground. You're either like this or you're like that. No chance to be wishy-washy on it. And He starts out with rock. The Greek word is petra, which means bedrock. This rock isn't going to be moved. A wise person who surveys the land and knowingly picks the right place to build their lives upon will realize, yeah, I need to build it upon bedrock. See, bedrock may be harder to place your foundation on, but you're going to be stable. In Istanbul, Turkey, the Hagia Sophia, it's a church, has survived many, many earthquakes, all because it was built on bedrock. It was built in 537 AD, still standing today. What's interesting, the word Hagia Sophia means holy wisdom. And holy wisdom always means Christ. So here's a picture. Christ's a building, a church building, being built on bedrock. And it has survived through all these years. Now, bedrock is harder to build upon. It's harder to place our lives upon. All because you have to let go of the negative. You have to let go of those negative events in your life. Bedrock calls us to let go. Jesus calls us to let go. and let him be the bedrock of your life. Let him that holds you together when the rest of the world is shaking apart. In the Old Testament, God is the bedrock for the lives of the children of Israel. They realize that their lives started with him as the rock. In Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. The bedrock needs to penetrate into our lives that we become just like he is, who does no wrong, who is upright and just in the way we live, in the way we interact with other people. Psalm 18:31 says, "For who is God except the Lord? And he is a rock. And who is a rock except our God?" Firm rock. Place our lives upon starts with him, starts with the Lord, then it goes throughout our life, into our community, into those that we love or concerned about. We need to allow the Lord to place us upon himself, and then build our house or life on him, the rock. Isaiah 28:16 says this. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a test stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." Place of Zion, city of David. The temple was built upon a rock. Our foundation is the rock. Now, what's interesting, the Lord is called rock. He's also called our foundation, our cornerstone. Cornerstones are very crucial because that is the foundation. And a cornerstone laid upon a rock will allow a house alive to stand firm. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20 says this, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." They would lay the cornerstone down and then go out from there to build the building. Our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, ties the building and the ground we build upon together. He is intertwined in it all. He is the creator of the bedrock. He is the one who created the stone that then the stonemasons would turn into a cornerstone. With God the Father, the rock, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, the foundation, you can't lose in this life. Cornerstone laid upon the rock, the bedrock. But you're going to win. Your life is going to stand firm. The bedrock. As we see in the Word of God, cause us to live out God's righteousness for all to see. Produces a stable life that is based upon the word that does not change, that is firm like bedrock. Has a foundation that will not be moved because we are founded and based on Jesus Christ. His words make us strong so that we can stand up to the storms of life. All because we're on the rock. All because he is our foundation. But let's look at the other type of land Jesus talks about. He moves from rock to sand. Sand is known to move or shift, which means the wind moves the sand with no problem. In ancient history, a 30,000-man Persian army, after conquering Egypt, headed to Carthage in North Africa. Now, according to history, that army disappeared in a sandstorm in North Africa. Just vanished. About 20 years ago, a group of scientists with ground probing radar went looking for the remains of the army. And guess what they found? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They figured they'd find swords and shields. Things are kind of well preserved in the desert, buried under sand. But you know, sand can hide a lot of things. My understanding is that there's the remains of a Persian army out there in North Africa someplace, buried under the sand. They never made it to Carthage. Taken out by the sands of life. You know, sand can be not only the physical sand, but sand can also be the shifting opinions of others. Sand can also be the shifting opinions of yourself, your attitudes, your self-directed will. Sand is like dress style. You know, in one moment, out the next. Keep your clothes long enough, in 20 years, it's going to come back in style. So guys, you got this shirt that your wife has been wanting to throw away for the last 5 years. Hang on to it, men. Because you got 15 years, it's going to be back in style. Now, ladies, that's your problem. That shirt is your problem. But sand is like style. It comes and it goes. Being blown by the wind. To build on the sand is to build on self-will, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. You know, and sand is easy to build upon. Move a little sand and you're ready to build. But it's unstable. It will move in the storms of life. Remember when I was in high school, one winter in L.A., it was Christmas time. We went down to visit cousins in Los Angeles, and L.A. got hit by this big storm. And it started washing homes out to sea. Of course, they interviewed the homeowners, and guess what? They were all the Hollywood types. And they were losing their houses, and they just wanted somebody to stop the storms. And I was thinking, you know, and here's a 16-year-old kid saying, lots of luck on that one. So as a 16-year-old kid with my other cousins, we decided, let's go down where the action is. So we drove to the coast, to to where the storm was taking out the houses. It was interesting. You'd watch one wave come in, being blown by the winds. It takes away a little sand. Then the next wave comes in, takes away a little foundation. Then the next wave came in and took away a little bit of the house. But yet, about a mile or so up the coast, there was these other houses that were built on rock. And they were standing firm. Now, sand may feel real good through your toes as you're walking down to the beach from your house that's right next to that beach and built on sand. But it doesn't do you any good when the storms come and washes away the foundation, but more importantly, washes away the land that your foundation, that your house is built on. As I've said, sand is unstable. And wind moves it. Wind moves water. And then houses. Then lives. Ephesians 4:14 says this. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every kind, with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Challenges there is don't allow yourself to be blown about by the wind of doctrine that doesn't come from God. Stick to what comes from God, His Word. Who He is, your relationship with Him, Jesus Christ. Grow up and follow Christ, because He's your bedrock. He's your foundation. Paul, in Ephesians 1:27, tells us to be stable and stand firm. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to be stable in our relationships with the Lord and then with each other. Stable in one spirit and with one mind, working together for the gospel, for the good news. And this is the type of stability the world is looking for. And that is who we need to be. Stable people in an unstable world. That people see and want to come up to you and ask you what makes you different. The Roman statesman and orator Marcus Cicero, 106 B.C. through 43 B.C., said this about life. And he says, people are hurting themselves as they're doing this, but I'm thinking this guy is writing this over 2,000 years ago, and he is just hitting the problem right on the head. He has analyzed what is wrong with us as humans. Too bad he lived before Christ, because he probably would have been a follower of Christ as he would listen to what Jesus said. And he says, there's the answer. But this is what he wrote 2,000 years ago. This is what we do as people. First, believing that personal gain can be made by crushing others. It's the way the world thinks. I've met people like that who believes that they can gain a lot by crushing other people. The second thing he says, habitually worrying about things that can neither be changed nor corrected. Means that you're trying to control things that you cannot change. But you're going to give it a try. Even worrying about it. Third, insisting that a thing is impossible because they can't do it. Arrogance. Another human trait. Well, if I can't do it, nobody else can. Fourth, refusing to abandon their personal prejudices. Jesus is calling us to let go. He's just not calling us to have personal prejudices that control and manipulate our lives and relationships. But he is telling us to let go. Next, failing to acquire the habit of reading and studying so they can develop their minds. Always read. I'm reading about a half a dozen books at a time. Slowly, but I'm getting them through. And it's a wide variety of reading. One book I'm reading is a history book. It's called From Rome to Byzantium, the 4th century A.D. And then another book I'm reading is on Christ. And I was shocked by the author. Justinian the Great wrote this book. And I'm just getting into it. I'm going, man. This guy has a relationship with Christ, and he is very smart. And he was a Roman emperor. So keep reading and thinking and studying so you can keep developing your mind. You know, don't allow your mind to become fat. In our day and age, I think we got a lot of people with firm bodies but fat minds. When I think we need to give way a little bit on the firm bodies and maybe have a pound or two of extra cushion there, but we need to have firm, strong minds that are always thinking. The last thing, trying to make others live and believe exactly as they do. You can't make people believe and act exactly as you do. When I think about the church, one thing we have in common, Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, our Savior. But you know, all this other stuff, hey, you're free to be who God has made you to be. Look at the gifting of the Holy Spirit within the church. We're not all pastors. We're not all evangelists. We're not all teachers. We're a variety of gifted people. And God expects that variety to be embraced by everyone. Because Jesus Christ is our rock, our cornerstone. And he is the only one that can take us away from this human condition that Cicero described 2,000 years ago. He's the only one that can make us live. And give us the strength, the wisdom, and the ability to live for him and him alone as we relate with others. And we can find out what God wants for our lives. And what he wants is in the Word. He reveals the list. Read it. So we've looked at rock. We've looked at sand. Let's look at storms. Storms of life always reveal what type of land we build our foundation and then our house upon, our lives upon. And these storms affect everyone, Jesus tells us. The picture that Jesus gives us in his teaching there in Matthew is that the individuals built their homes, their lives at the same time, but on different locations, on a different turf, different land. And that difference revealed is revealed in storms. In Psalm 65:7, you will still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tollup of the peoples. On bedrock, you can realize that God can and does still the storms of our lives if we let Him. Being on a firm foundation, being on the bedrock of the Lord, means that we're open to seeing Him calm the storms of our lives. Psalm 89:9, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Being where we are, on the rock and on the foundation, on Jesus Christ, we see that God is in control. And we allow His control to step into our lives, into our hearts. We have a life that is not buffeted by the storms of this life. Psalm 107:29, He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Do you have any waves in your life that you see washing over your life, over your house that you've built? Allow Jesus to calm that storm that you're in. For hope is on that bedrock, is on that foundation. Hope is in Christ. That when your life is built on Jesus Christ, the storms can come and bash against you, but you will stand firm. You stand firm because you are in Christ. You are living out His word. All your ability to stand up is based upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew 8:26 says this. Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves and was completely calm. That's hope. Because He can rebuke the wind and the waves and calm our lives. Are you calm in your life? Or is your life in turmoil? You need to come to Jesus. Give Him that storm so He can calm it down. That's hope. Hopelessness is revealed in life's storms. A house built upon sand will fall with a great crash. Or great was its fall, as the New King James says. The Greek for fall literally means fall to pieces, collapse. This is a picture of hopelessness that comes with a building, a house, or life built on sand. Ultimately, it will crash. Christ is telling us to build our house, our lives on bedrock, on Him as a foundation. The world is saying, you can build on sand. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen until a storm hits. And your sand is washed away along with your house, along with your life. It will ultimately crash. Jesus is being and going against and calling all of us to go against the social norms of this world that is calling us to build our lives on sand. Maybe that's how come we have a high rate of suicide. Because we've moved, this country has moved from being built upon a rock to building upon sand that cannot handle storms, and everything gets washed away. Be counterculture. Be like Christ. Build your life on Him. But ask the question, why do people build their lives on those things and upon certain individuals who are unstable? We've always done it. Part of our human nature, part of our sin nature. Maybe two words describe us as a people. Stubbornness and selfishness. They kind of go hand in hand. When California had the fires a month or so ago, people went back to their homes after the fire destroyed their ground cover. And a lot of times in Southern California, when you have a fire, it's going to rain. There's going to be a storm that comes in. And because these people went back to their houses, up to 24 were killed or missing. And you know, those that know had warned them, stay away from your house. Don't go back. It's going to rain and you're going to be in a world of hurt. They paid with their lives. Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. We resist the Holy Spirit because we don't want to hear with our hearts and with our ears. We don't want to hear what people say. What Christ is saying to us. Because it caused us to let go of our stubbornness and our selfishness. And look for what is of real value. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Decisions that we make in life can lead to calamity unless your heart is open. And if your heart is reverent before God, then you're going to be a happy person because you're going to listen to see what God has to say. And when he tells to build on a bedrock, you'll do it. There's obedience with that. But you know, a lot of times calamities in our lives are self-induced. In Mark chapter 8, verses 17 through 21, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes that do not see, and having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you pick up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Stubbornness leads to a lack of understanding of things that are spiritual. Selfishness leads to a lack of understanding of things that are spiritual. We miss the supernatural moving of God because of our inability to see and understand the greatness of God that is beyond ourselves. If you can hear spiritually, if you can see spiritually, you can then see God moving in his timing, not ours. Now, the opposite of a stubborn, selfish, and misunderstood life is a surrendered life. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the experience for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, in the kingdom of God, losing is winning. We're called to lose so we can win. We are called from building upon sand to building upon a bedrock, so we can withstand the storms of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surrendering your life over to Christ means that you will be preserved as blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul warns us how to live in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The goal for all our lives is to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. A living sacrifice means we live so others can see us. You need to sacrifice the desires to build your life on the shifting sand. Instead, you need to build your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Have you ever surrendered your life to Him? Do you need to surrender your life to Him because you're going through something right now that is very tough? Take it to the Lord in prayer and start giving that situation you find yourself over to Him so that you can experience that calming influence of Him, of His Spirit in your heart, in your life. And you could see the waves getting less and less and the wind pulling back and not as strong. But you can also see my house, my life is standing strong because of who I am. Going back to Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine and does them, I will make him to a wise man. Maybe you need to collect some wisdom from Christ. Whatever you are going through now, I would challenge you, and we're going to take a minute, just to silently pray, that you bring yourself before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the bedrock. And allow Him to speak and maybe calm your heart down, give you wisdom, become wise. Let's take a minute and pray. Bring yourself to the Lord. Father God, you know what we are going through. Some of us are experiencing storms that are unbelievable. And some of us are wondering if we're going to be able to make it. Lord Jesus, call us back to yourself, to the bedrock that we built our life upon. And set us free to be your people who will listen to you calm the storms of our lives. Father, if we haven't built our life upon your Son, may we do that today. May we just surrender our selfish, stubborn wills over to you, Lord, and allow you to make us into the individual you want us to be. We are yours, Father. May you be glorified in the decisions we make as we seek your wisdom for life. All glory be unto you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.